Good morning, everybody, and I'm glad to share this part with you. But I want to follow with what Pastor Jenny said last week about being in the river. And as she asked the students, our kids, about to ask one question, and I want to ask one question and share this question with you today. If we are in the river, what do we do when we are going in a wrong direction or a direction we don't like to go? What do we do when we feel the stream is really squished by two hard rocks and going fast? Looks good, but for somebody likes more space, maybe that's what it's not good. What do we do when the river seems less really speedy and not having the power to go and run that fast? With all these questions, as we all used to, I didn't have a clear answer to that. But maybe that's the way God wants us to learn about what happened with Peter, with Paul today. Let us face the reality. When we read this passage, we can see Paul as very defensive. And when you go home, I encourage you to go and read the Galatians again, chapter 1, the whole chapter. And you see, Paul is very personal, very defensive, talking about who he is, how he got his message. And I was like, what's really the problem with going on with Paul? Why he's spending all this time speaking about seems like a very personal issues. He's a very smart guy. He taught very well. He can be a philosopher. You can name any smart category, and Paul will fit under it. So he's not the kind of guy who will waste our time and speak about very personal issues. But when a personal issue is matter for his call, he has to tell us. The way he presented his case led us to ask many questions. What is really the main problem here? Actually, Paul faced with many accusations, but his main one was about his apostolic authority. How much could you be surprised to think that our most famous leader in the Christian faith was challenged? And even people doubt about, what are you doing here? How much this challenge and change will change how to think about Paul, maybe as your hero or as a hero of our faith? People brought a lot of troubles and accusation thinking about his credibility. In which name can you tell us you are really a new convert to Christianity? And Paul keeps saying that many times. I am the last epistle. I am the least one. But in this passage, he told us a very different thing. He told us, I was very strong Jew. I was strong, so I was a fanatic Jew. And I was famous with being persecuting you, Christians, you converts. And I'm telling you now, I'm a different person. It's easy to say, but it's not easy to change fear to confidence, to change the way people could think about him in one day. His story told us that Jesus appeared to him on the road when he was on a mission to catch more Christians, to torture and persecute them, and bring them to the true religion, Judaism. When Paul converted to Christianity and God chose him to be the last apostle, this was his biggest problem. How could you be an apostle and you did not meet Jesus in person and you did not witness his ministry? And let's think about that. You can take one side of the argument. You can take the guys who lived with Jesus' argument to saying like, we lived with him, we know him more than you, and we cannot just open the door for anybody tomorrow come and say, I'm another one. So you need to be sympathetic with also the guys trying to find some rules to say how we can say, this is really the group, the close, the small circle really around Jesus Christ. But at the same time, God was challenging the church that is very young. It's like an infant about God is doing things in a different way. He was telling us, I am repeating to you, I am the last one, Paul is telling us. I am the last epistle, I am the least one. But I will never give up my call actually from God. I saw Christ on the road to Damascus. So if it's my credentials comes from the way to meet Jesus, so it's actually happened. But he was reminding them and reminding us today. God is still working through a lot of surprises. He surprised the early church by saying to them, I always do things in different way. Just imagine starting your mission and ministry or any new job with a lot of questions. And in this case, it's actually a lot of suspicion about who you are, what are you doing here? Are you an enemy or friend? Are you the guy just yesterday was looking to kill and do everything bad to us? Or are you really something happened to you? People on Jerusalem's side were not happy with him leaning toward the Gentile. He's not only having a trouble with the way he was called as an apostle, but also he was having a trouble because he created another trouble. As for most of you, if you know, if you don't, I'm reminding you, the big tension and conflict between Peter and Paul. And the conflict was about the circumcision of the newcomers to Christianity. Paul was the one very radical on the way he's saying, there is no need to do that. You are totally fine. The grace of Jesus Christ is enough for you. You come and that's it. And Peter, which actually represents many Jewish Christians, the first generation of people, grew up as a Jew, and suddenly they are adopting to a new identity. So it's a mixed Jewish-Christian identity. So how much we can leave from Judaism and how much we can take from Christianity? And I think that's the same challenge happened to all of us in different days. How much of that our tradition, our heritage, our culture, our racial, all these things we have to hang on, and how much of that really could be changed and move forward. As imagine Paul being really in troubles for many things, but this was really another big one. No one wished to be in Paul's shoes, where he pulled in a different directions and challenged by almost everybody, on the Gentile side and on the Jewish side. Because of this question, Paul dealt with these issues that explain the Christian faith to us today. For example, how do we understand God's call when we encounter Bible doubts and questions? How to deal with racial prejudice? And at this time, we know this wasn't put in this way as our modern term, racial prejudice, but somehow it was in the same way. It was about the tension between the Jews and the Gentile. Who is more cleaner? Who is more closer to God? Who is more better? And the same message from the early first century became the inspiration for many people to advocate against all kind of prejudice that can happen because of all our differences. Can you imagine what could happen to the Christian faith if these people weren't challenged by a new leader who was chosen by God? Was chosen not the same way like the rest of the apostles? It brings doubt, it brings questions, but also it's bringing a new face of God on the new mission. And if Paul wasn't challenged by all these questions, I'm not here today to defend Paul. I am here to say God's working in all these angels from the Gentile side, from the Jewish side, and working within Paul himself. Paul doesn't need somebody to defend him, but to remind us about God's work in all the sides and all directions. if Paul wasn't challenged by all these questions about who he was and who he is. Nobody imagined that by their honest questions, maybe harsh questions, maybe tough questions, they were actually preparing a great leader for the whole Christian faith. So do not keep your questions. Do not keep your wondering inside you, because maybe it's a gift from you to connect with others and to create an opportunity for another leader and for people to grow. Well, the early Christians in Jerusalem were busy finding out what to do with the Judaism. God was working already on the new road that Christ gave to them. When God chose people as somebody totally outside the box, he invited the apostles with the Jewish background to wonder. Still, God is still working. God is not done even after the resurrection. This is the message. God is still working through you. And he also invited the Gentile to praise the Lord by amazing name. The guy who was the source of your troubles, he's now the source maybe of your comfort. They were amazed. When he brought his message to them through Paul, they were wondering, but there is also they were enjoying the new reality. We can see that Paul used his mind to think and prove his case about being a puzzle. If it's about seeing Christ, I have that in my hand. I have people who witnessed that with me on the road to Damascus. He reminding them and us today, a call to ministry, a call to be God's people, is not about the way God did it, but it's about who called us. His call is strong because God can guarantee that and not just depending on his human skill or talents. Paul's message to the Galatians is that you are forgiven, not because of the circumcision, not of the law, not of all these things you have to do, but because what Jesus did on the cross for you. Because you are living in the age of grace and peace now. What a move for Paul from the extreme to extreme. When we compare his view on the circumcision to Peter, who was on the other side of the aisle. Maybe you'll wonder about how two famous leaders of the Christian faith could be on such much disagreement. Paul was a Gentile with no need for circumcision. And Peter was a circumcision to be fully Christians. Paul changed his compass. In his past, he persecuted people for what he thought for God's favor. But actually, he did that for his own selfish need, to feel secure, to feel I don't want to see any other people who's telling me there is actually another way to live with God and for God. I want to be sure it's only my way. It's only my road is the right one. Now he is persecuted by many people, by many Christians, not really in a more like in a physical way, but theologically, intellectually. He was persecuted by opponents, one of the most famous Christian leaders. Nobody wanted to put themselves in trouble by facing and countering something different with Peter. He's now in trouble because of his compassion and love for every believer, and especially for the vulnerable one on the Gentile side. He's getting in trouble for people's needs, while in the past, he brought the troubles and fear to others. When Paul shared his past, that could be a source of shame and fear for him and for others. But he was also writing a commitment to say, this is the new beginning. And I'm saying to you, I'm writing my commitment down to you. So it's not just a false, it's not just a nice rhetorical thing, it's a real commitment. I was the one who brought fear to you by persecution, and now I'm a new man because of my journey with God, who enlightened my mind and my heart to remind us knowledge without passion could be a destructive tool, and a sympathy without knowledge could lead to a confusion. Love the Lord from all your heart, mind, will, and from everything you have. And totally today, I'm thankful for Paul's struggle. I didn't know if he felt the same way at the moment, but after 2,000 years, I'm thankful for what happened to him. That led him to be not to fit into the Judeo-Christian community in Jerusalem. So he has to find another way to go to Arabia and preach the gospel to my people to let them know they belong to his message and his covenant, to experience God's grace and love. When our head's spinning around and it feels like we have tons of questions and we do not know what to do, please share them. Tell them to others. Share these questions or thoughts with others to see and hear God's voice. If we are sure that we are on the right road, then we should ask ourselves, can we hear and obey the Spirit when it says turn around and find a new direction? Or maybe when the Spirit is asking us to move forward in the same direction, but with a new mind, a new spirit, God is leading us to wonder and to ask and not to fear sharing these thoughts with others. Amen.